I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about water baptism, and we're going to have baptism right after the close of the service, right after the invitation. And before we partake of an ordinance, we'd like to explain what it's all about. So if you have your Bibles with you, we'll go through very familiar scriptures. Let's start with Matthew 28. We won't read many scriptures, and I'll hurry right along because we got quite a few to be baptized. Brother Borders is here with some members of his congregation. I believe about four, plus I'm not sure exactly how many we've got, but we've got quite a few too. All right, Matthew the 28th chapter, verse 16. Father, we thank thee for all that you've done. You've been good to us, and we ask you to remember Brother Joey Brewer today, Lord. He's got complications, and he's having a struggle. Please help him, we pray. My God, move in his behalf. And Father, we see Sister Fogo here, Lord, and we're praying, Lord God, that those bones, Lord, where they fixed her back, will heal up. And Lord God, that everything will be okay with her. Now help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed him. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Turn with me to Mark the 16th chapter, right down to the end of that chapter also. Verse 14 beginning. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. He said, go ye therefore, in Matthew 28:19, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, as we go into this study for just a little bit, we must take the word of God as final authority. Amen. Final authority on doctrine and spiritual matters. The word of God is settled. It is settled and cannot be changed. The 119th Psalm, verse 89, a brother related to it just the other day in one of the messages. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consume. Now the word of God is very explicit, very plain, very understandable if divided properly. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study. Study to show thyself approved whereunto unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. Amen means to make a straight cut. to dissect correctly. In the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle, which was a type of the church that Jesus built. It was a shadow, amen, of the reality. It had ordinances also, and they were instituted by God. Luke chapter number 1, verse 5, and I'm going to go through some scriptures and probably move along pretty quickly. Luke 1 and 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah, and his wife also of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Amen. Then Hebrews 9 and 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Verse number 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, divers washings, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Cardinal ordinances, he said. Amen. Regulations, external rules, imposed. Otherwise, there was no choice. Exodus 18 and 20, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Imposed on them, it said, until the time of reformation. Well, somebody said, when was that? Colossians, the second chapter, verse number 14, says this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, amen, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Also in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 15, we read, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for the making himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. Well, does the New Testament, amen, also have ordinances? Yes, it does. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, there are three main ordinances, amen, in the Word of God for the New Testament church. There's the Lord's Supper. There's also feet washing. And there is water baptism. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now the word used as traditions in 2 Thessalonians is the same word for ordinances here in the Corinthian letter. An ordinance is a direction or command of an authoritative nature. Now we know the authority comes from the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 1:22 says this, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And we know whatever the head says, we want to do. and he commands it. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus spake unto them, I read these verses, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and amen, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go ye therefore is a command. In Acts, the first chapter, verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he hath chosen. Christ gave the authority. He commanded it, but he also instituted it personally. Matthew, the third chapter, verse 13. Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What is the purpose of water baptism? Is it a saving ordinance? Does it save you from sin? The answer is no. Does feet washing make you humble? Does partaking of the Lord's Supper make you remember Christ? No. Neither does being baptized clean you up from sin. To wash feet, you need to be humble first. To partake of the Lord's Supper, amen, there needs to be remembrance first, amen, that comes from being delivered out of sin. To be baptized, you must have your sins washed away first. And what washes away sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, now I'm going to tell you where fellowship really is. And it's right here in this verse. If we walk in the light as he, Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It's automatic. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. I'm going real quickly, but time is going to get away with us, get away from us here. Revelation 1:5 from Jesus, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's always the blood that cleanses from sin. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness nor cleansing, amen, from sin. The blood is applied by faith. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, to the forbearance of God. And when you come to Jesus Christ, that's what you receive forgiveness for. What? Sins that are past. Not future. Why? Because you're not supposed to commit any sin after that. Sins that are past. What else does the blood do? It purges your conscience from dead works. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 14 says this: how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, how about water baptism? Does it put you in the church? No. You get in the church by the new birth. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're going to talk about a baptism here. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Let's pick up an Old Testament verse. Go with me to the 87th Psalm, verse 5. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up his people that this man was born there. Selah. You are in the body of Christ through the new birth, the Spirit of God. Amen. Again, what is the purpose of water baptism? Turn with me to 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now listen to what he says. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer. It doesn't give you a good conscience. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the answer of a good conscience. Amen. If you've got a conscience, it's not a good conscience when you go in that water, you come out the same way. The good conscience comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. Water baptism is the answer of a good conscience. The Hebrew writer said, amen, I'm going to repeat, you get a good conscience through the blood of Jesus Christ. Water baptism doesn't give you a good conscience, but I repeat what the scripture says. It's the answer of a good conscience. Water baptism doesn't make you a member of God's church. Amen. Nor should it be administered to babies. Amen. Baptism is for believers, not babies. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Babies neither believe or disbelieve. They're not old enough to comprehend. Amen. The gospel. Amen. At a baby stage. Baptism, I repeat, is for believers. Speaking of amen. I want to say this again. Babies don't believe. Neither do they disbelieve. Speaking of the eunuch, when he desired to be baptized, what did Philip say to him? Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if thou believest, how? With all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The believing comes first. Well, how should one be baptized? Immersed. Otherwise, completely covered. Put under. Not sprinkled. not poured, but immersed, completely put under the water. Somebody said, if you got an example, how about Jesus? Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And the heavens opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Mark 1, Mark the first chapter, verse 9. Came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized of John in Jordan. What's Jordan? A river. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Let's get one more. Go with me to Acts, the 8th chapter. Verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. And what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Excuse me. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Baptism represents the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The word baptism, when referring to water baptism, comes from the word baptizo, which means immersion. What is the formula? Matthew 28:19, there's no doubt Jesus gave the formula. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, what is the standard for baptism? One who has been born again and living a life free from sin. The minister who administers baptism must be a preacher of holiness and live holiness. One must be baptized in the name of the Trinity. There must be total immersion. Baptism was not nailed to the cross because the commission to baptize was given after the cross and the resurrection. That things were against us, amen. And contrary to us, we're nailed to the cross. Baptism is neither against us or contrary to us in any way. Today, ones are baptized by sprinkling or by pouring. But the Word of God says immersion. The Word of God is a final authority. When I was in New York, now this is some years ago, I attended a congregation, and at the end of the message, they held a baptism. Some young people were baptized, and before they were baptized, they stood and gave a very good testimony. They were baptized by sitting on an altar. And a minister and another helper came by with a basin and a pitcher of water. And he came up to each candidate and poured drops of water on her head in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But that's not according to the Word of God. That's not the way Jesus taught it. Amen. Now we have quite a few candidates this morning to be baptized. There'll be some, like I said, from Brother Borders' congregation, some from this congregation. And if you're here from another congregation, you need to be baptized. Your pastor's here. We don't want to baptize somebody else's sheep. Amen. Let that pastor baptize him. Feel free to come right on and take part. Again, baptism is the answer of a good conscience that you receive through the blood of Jesus Christ.